last week, we talked about what it means to walk by faith. And thanks to Meredith and Karen, and them making a comment about my hair, which started the entire thought process for this, the main thrust of last week was that we really do walk by sight, naturally. We can't help it. But what's worse is we don't doubt what we see. We don't doubt what we feel or think. We're just so sure it's right, when actually there's a good chance that what we're seeing or hearing or feeling is not accurate. And that the basis of faith is not walking by what we see, but walking by what God sees. And so when Ronnie asked me to do the sermon this week, I said, maybe we should, there was a certain subject you brought up. He goes, no. He goes, I don't think so. He says, we've been kind of, what was the word, serious, or I don't know what it was. Or he says, something like no downers or whatever it was, or anything having to do with negative. And I thought, okay, well, what in the world? Because I can only preach on what I'm thinking about. I can only preach on what the Lord's dealing with in me. And so the only other word that came to mind was hope. Hope. Because I deal with hopelessness, and when I battled with depression, and still there are moments, emotional triggers, things that cut you at a moment, and sometimes you don't even know why it will just spark you into this. It's like pushing you over the edge into this abyss, this well. And you're like, how did I get here? This little thing sparked, and all of a sudden, I just crashed. Now, why? So, hope is very important to me. And as I was going through the scriptures, I realized it was the perfect thing to follow: faith. Right? Of these things that remain, faith, hope, and love. And as I was studying hope, I realized how, and we're going to go back to this, Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance, the thing you floor, that the subflooring, the thing you stand on, is the substance of things hoped for. Yes. And what we're going to find out is you can't have hope unless you have faith.
Sure.
So when you're feeling hopeless, really what it means is we're being what?
Faithless.
That's what it is. So that's what we're going to talk about today. First of all, what is hope? Somebody give me a definition of hope. What is hope? All right, I'll help you.
Thinking. Give us a minute.
You're thinking.
Oh.
In this day and age, hope is wishing for something good.
Okay, very good. Yes. Wishing for something good. What else? What else do we associate it with it? Come on, don't be wimpy.
Something to live for.
Something to live for.
Ooh, very good.
Very good. What else? Anything.
Something to hold on to.
Something to hold on to. I like that too. This is what the word actually means. Eager expectation. Eager expectation. Eager expectation means that we're expecting something good. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? Nobody's eager about expecting something bad.
No. Yes.
Good point. So eager expectation of something good. Not wishing. Mm-hmm. Expecting. You understand the difference here?
Looking forward to.
Looking forward to. But even more so, I can look forward to, Ronnie and I talk about, in the future, if and when we ever retire, you know, what we'd like to do. And at times we've talked about getting in the motorhome, and going to different places. These are things we look forward to. But they're not things we eagerly expect, because we don't know what our life will look like at that time, and plus we have 8 dogs.
Yeah.
Can't take them with you. Don't know who would take care of them. My daughter is married now with her own baby and lives somewhere else, so we can't use that free labor anymore. So eager expectation, that's what hope is. Keep that in mind. So one thing, as we said, hope is inseparable from faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And that word substance means substance. Stance is standing, sub is under. So faith is the thing that holds up your hope. It's the basis of your hope. But let's start using the term eager expectation. Our faith is the reason for our eager expectation. Okay? Now, two, our hope is never in a situation, a person, or even in ourselves. It is always in God Himself, His character, His qualities, His very person. Now, remember last week we were talking about faith and believing. Why do we believe? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have delivered unto Him until that day, until the end. So the whole point of our faith is we know the person that we've believed. We know them so well that we have been persuaded, convinced, to believe that He is completely able to take care of everything that I have committed to Him. Now, our faith actually means entrusting everything that is important to you. That means the people in your life, the things in your life, as well as yourself, and trusting them to God. That's what faith is. Okay? So therefore, our hope, too often, our eager expectation when things go bad, rarely is in God. What's the first thing we normally rely on when things go bad? Honestly.
Our ability.
Our own ability, ourself. First thing we go to. When we're out of control, what do we hope for? What do we, our eager expectation that might fix it? That's
somebody.
Okay, that's it. Somebody else will fix it for you. Yeah. Bug fixes everything. So, Bug will fix your problem. So,
I'll work on everything.
Right, so first we exhaust our own resources. Then we put the pressure on someone else who can't fix it to fix our problem. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we just hope, and excuse me for using this term because this term drives me crazy, the universe will fix it. You know what I mean? Things will just, situations will just change and things will be better. All right, I'm going to get on my soapbox just for a second. This whole thing about the universe wants this and the universe will do that and the universe, completely illogical, cuts me to my logical core because the universe is an inanimate object. If the universe has a mind, has a will, and has an ability, that means they're talking about God. They just don't like the fact that God requires things. The universe sounds so much nicer because it will do things for me but never require anything from me. Okay? There is no such thing as an inanimate object with will and desire and power and purpose. There is a God. Okay, I'm off. So, our hope is always our hope, our eager expectation can only be in God. Have you ever been in a situation where someone expected you to fix something that was out of your control?
Mm-hmm.
How did it make you feel?
Helpless, overwhelmed, powerless.
Sick. Makes me sick. Stressed.
Uh-huh.
Stressed from someone expecting me to fix their problem.
Make you feel like a failure.
Ooh, very good. Very good. So remember that the next time you're tempted to make somebody else be your eager expectation of fixing a situation. These are some scriptures. Psalm 25:5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Psalm 31:24. Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. Now this is the details. Psalm 33, starting in verse 16. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose eager expectation is in his unfailing love. To deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine, we wait in eager expectation for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our eager expectation in you. Now, what words were used over and over again in that psalm?
Unfailing
hope, eager expectation, and what?
Unfailing love.
Unfailing love. Now, why would our eager expectation need to be in his unfailing love? What does his unfailing love have to do with our eager expectation?
Well, I think one, that's, as I was going to say before, what mistake I've made and that I see other Christians making, and hopefully this won't step on any toes, is that I think early on in Christianity, or depending what we're taught sometimes that as Christians, our hope can be still that everything's just going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to be healed. We're going to have great finances. Everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when we pray and we don't see those things happen, we can get angry at God. We
uh-huh.
can get hopeless because our hope has not just been in his love. It's been in all these other things that we're not necessarily guaranteed on this earth because we're in a sinful world.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's when it comes to, like, Jesus didn't do anything other than what his Father did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, if we're sick, for instance, or we have a friend that's dying of cancer, or a close one, and we ask God, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do? Not that we shouldn't pray for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what God shows us he wants and is doing is different than what we're pre-programmed to see as, do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, absolutely. What
God
you're talking
wants or whatever. And then we get disappointed, like, well, that person died. Oh, my gosh. Now our hope is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if our hope is just in God's love, which to me is, I mean, of course he does talk about healing and other things. It's not like we shouldn't pray.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I've just learned when I start to lose hope to go back to, I can't understand why these other things didn't work out, even though I thought God would do such and such, but I always know he will love me.
All right, very, very good. So the bottom line of what you just said is that our eager expectations are sometimes not in God, but in the results that we want from God.
And what we think he can do for us.
What we think he will do for us. But again, our hope is not in God. Our hope is in the results that we are expecting from God. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm. And the outcome, like she was saying, and the outcome, most of the time is due from what we have been taught in
mm-hmm.
our past. In other words, if you're raised a certain denomination, that's all. You limit God to that.
Yes.
You put him in a box.
And not that you can't cling to certain things. I mean, to me, if God says, okay, your husband's sick, he's dying of cancer, I'm going to heal your husband, you should have an eager expectation of that.
Yes.
If he doesn't say that, you might want to have a different...
Mm-hmm.
But then if it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean it was
mm-hmm.
God's fault. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're still in a sinful, sick world, but
mm-hmm.
because there's still that love and that presence and intimacy of
mm-hmm.
him as just being in a relationship, not a...
All right. Mm-hmm. Very good. All of those things are what we're talking about. How mm-hmm. we put our hope in the wrong places. Like, putting our hope in what we expect the results to be from what God does is so close to hoping in God. But it's still not hoping in God. Right? Our hope is especially in God's unfailing love for us, which leads to his complete and full redemption of us, from sin owning us to God owning us and changing us into his own likeness. Let me read that again. Our hope in God's unfailing love is because his unfailing love leads to his complete and full redemption of us. We redeem a coupon, we turn it in, and we get something for it. He has paid for us and bought us, every part of us. His unfailing love leads to his redemption of us. And the point of his redemption of us, owning us, is to change us into the image of Jesus. Right? Psalm 130, verse 7 says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Okay? We hear people say that in Romans, it says, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And they stop there. But that does not mean in all situations everything's going to work out for good, because the next verse says, because what's going to happen is he's going to change you into the image of Jesus. That's the good that will come out of any and every situation for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So our hope is often in things outside of us going the way we want them to, when God's hope and promise is that no matter what happens outside of us, we will become more like Jesus. That's what he's promised his Holy Spirit will do in us. His promises are not always that everything outside of us will happen good. Does that make sense?
Yep.
We can also hope in his word. We can hope in God's unfailing love, which leads to the fact that he owns us. Now, for those of you who have children, how do you feel about your children? What do you want for your children? What will you do for your children? Anything.
Die.
Die? You'll die for your children? Ronnie would, you know, Ronnie would take a bullet for my kids. We will protect them. We will do whatever it takes to protect them. Even if it means taking away something they want, we will correct them. We will love them. Will they always sense that what we're doing for them is loving?
No. No.
Will they always appreciate what we're doing to protect and love them?
No. Not 80% of the time.
No. No. So unfailing love is not always pleasant for the recipient, is it? But those of us who are parents who take good care of our children, can our children trust us? Yes. Why? Because they know, even when they are unhappy with us, that we are doing what we think is best for them. And when it comes to the bottom of it, if a burglar broke into your house and you were there with your children, I'm sure your children know you would put yourself in front of them and between any danger. Right? This is what unfailing love is. That even if we don't understand what God the Father is doing, we don't doubt his love and care because he owns us. He has redeemed us. He has adopted us as his children. He has grafted us into the vine with Jesus. And as Meredith said, this is a sick and broken world. The environment is broken. The people are broken. The economic system is broken. Nature is broken. Everything is not the way it should be. And to have an expectation that things will be good in this earth is not accurate or healthy. We have to expect things to go wrong. This is not heaven. We have to expect people to be selfish and sinful, and that their actions and our actions will have a ripple effect that will rock the hope of other people. And what they do will rock our hope. If our expectation is in the things of this world, or even in the results of what God will do, our only hope is that beyond all understanding and all expectation, earthly expectation, God's unfailing love promises us that what is best will happen. As Paul said, I have a desire to be with God, and yet I know I have a calling on this earth. So I'm caught in between. I want to be there, but I know I'm called to be here. So whether I'm in this body and away from the Lord, or out of this body and with the Lord, it's all good. Why? Simply because either I'm here with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit inside of me here on this earth, or I'm physically in his presence in heaven. This is the basis of our hope. And the good thing is that means that no matter what we see with our eyes, as long as we believe God is good all the time, God is good. And that I can't trust with my eyes, I can't trust with my ears, I can't trust my feelings, that what I'm seeing is accurate. But if what I can do, no matter what, is I can believe God. Because there is no situation that is out of his power, and I am never outside of his loving control and care. We can also hope in his word. Psalm 119:74 says, may those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 119:116, sustain me, my God, according to your promise or your word, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Sustain me according to your promise. What is his promise? His promise is to love us and take care of us as a child, whether we understand what he's doing or why he's doing it. You have a child. They've fallen out of a tree. They've broken an arm, and maybe they've gashed something and they need stitches. They're crying. They're upset. They don't know what's going on. You take them to a hospital, and somebody in a white coat with a needle is about to stitch them up. And you are holding them down while they are scared and cannot understand why in the world you would ever allow this. And they've got to take stuff out of their arm because there's some pieces of tree in it. Sometimes that's how we are. We are the child going, why? Why did you do this? Why did I fall from the tree? Well, the tree is broken. It's old. You're not as little as you used to be when you used to climb up this tree. Why did you let him hurt me? In order to remove what was hurting you, you had to experience the pain to have it taken out. Why did you hold me down and make me go through this when I wanted to get up off the table and leave? because there was a hand that needed to heal you, and you had to stay still and go through the pain while it was taken out. Our eager expectation is not that life will be painless. It's not that we will have everything we want in this world. Our hope is in His unfailing love. Our eager expectation at every moment and in every circumstance is that His love for us will triumph and will be victorious in the situation. Psalm 119:147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in Your word. Just because I have an eager expectation in His unfailing love and His word does not mean I will not cry out for help. The two are not opposite. I cry out for help because in my body, in my mind, in my inabilities and my shortcomings, I am clinging to You despite what I see, feel, and hear. And this is hard, God, because You put me in a body, and that body wants to rely on me. Right? So I'm crying out for help, Lord, that my faith, my hope will be in You. I will eagerly expect You to do...
For a cry.
No, it's a cry. Oh, now it turned right into a smile. She saw Daddy. Now that is a perfect example. All right? She came out here and was screaming and crying the moment her eyes fixed on her daddy. What did she do? She smiled. The cry stopped. I mean, literally, it was split second, scream to smile. Thank You, Lord. Why? Did her situation change? No. She saw her daddy was there. She knew her daddy loved her. She knew her daddy would protect her no matter what. Knowing her daddy was there meant more than understanding why she was cut off for him in another room. Mm-hmm. Eager expectation, expecting His love to triumph, expecting Him to be there. There is hope for people who have gotten into situations due to their own ignorance or deliberate sin. Ezra 10:2. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women from the peoples around us. But in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel." There was a period of time when Israel was in exile in Babylon. And then they were coming back. They were coming back to rebuild the city. Well, they, while in exile, there ain't been no temple. It's just generations this has gone on. They didn't know what the Torah said. They didn't know what God's word said. They married the people and the culture they were in. They got used to them. They lived like them. But they still had a, not a cultural, like me, you're born a Jew, you are a Jew. Okay, so even though they were in Babylon, they knew there were Jews, but their lifestyles had become like the heathen people around them. Well, here they are. Then they came back and they found the scrolls. They opened and read them. And what God had said, which was explicitly forbade them to marry people from other countries. And they said, "We have royally messed up." It was their own decisions. They didn't know any better. Right? But their own decisions had put them in a place to cut them off from God. And they said, and yet there may be hope. And there was hope. If they undid what they could, they were to separate from the foreign women that they had married. They were to wear sackcloth and ashes. They were to pray. They were to fast. And they were to return to their God. Now, it doesn't mean you undo your marriage and that type of things in our culture. But the point is, God still provides hope and repentance and ways for us to return to Him. Some of us lose hope because of our own actions. But His unfailing love is bigger than our own actions. All He wants is for us to have faith in His goodness and eager expectation in His unfailing love, because His unfailing love causes redemption. He takes us and redeems us, and we become His once again, and He continues to turn us into Jesus. Okay? Proverbs 23:18, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. This is Isaiah 40, starting in verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? And ever felt like God had just punted you? You know? He's ignoring you? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one, including us, can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I know whom I have believed. I know He doesn't slumber. I know He doesn't sleep. I know His understanding is beyond any of my understanding. So He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all loving. If ever there was someone I could trust, and I can call Him my Father. If ever there was anyone I could have an eager expectation in, it is my God. Jeremiah 29:11, my verse, my life verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you a hope and a future. A hope and a future. In Celebrate Recovery, we say the Serenity Prayer, not like the secular ones do who just say the beginning of it, where they end with, and the wisdom to know the difference. Instead, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, and this is the most important part, so that I may be reasonably happy in this world and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. That full serenity prayer is about putting your eager expectations in the right place and accepting unflinchingly the realities and the brokenness of ourselves, others, and the world we live in. Knowing our eager expectation is that if we go through this, He will bring something good out of it. He will be glorified, and I will be more like Jesus if I endure this. Those are the two things. The only two things that matter in life. He will be glorified, and I will be more like Jesus when this is done. And this is temporary. What I'm going through now is temporary. I will be supremely happy with him in the next. So my hope, my eager expectation is him. Lamentations is great when you're struggling with hopelessness. Lamentations 3, starting in 19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, eager expectation. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him, eagerly expect him. The Lord is good to those whose hope, eager expectation is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust, yet there may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Same words over and over. Do we see the running theme? Hope only comes from trusting in God. But hope can come not out of our mind, but straight from the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a hope that we can drum up by telling ourselves, he's a good God, I love him, I'm going to trust him. But there are also times when our body and our mind and our spirit are under such attack that we can't. God will even come through with supernatural hope. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just that in your mind you trust him and hope comes. You trust in him, you surrender to him, and the Holy Spirit will supernaturally give you hope for that moment, for that time. But it's not like he gives you hope and it stays for a while, like willpower, which comes and goes. I've been off sugar for 8 weeks come Tuesday, sugar and bread. But I emptied out a pot of baked beans, which I guess we'd had here, I don't know when. Yeah, had for lunch one day. And I thought, well, I'll just taste it. I stuck my finger in it and I went...
Like, chewed your finger out.
No, I went like this and started eating it. I didn't care how dirty it was. I was like, I'm out of control. All it took was that one taste. And I thought, obviously, this stuff is like crack to me. It is. It's my heroin. So after 3 or 4 things and it being all over my face, with every bit of strength I had, I took it and dumped it into the garbage. Then I closed the lid up real fast in case I had second thoughts. That's very hard. But our willpower and these things fade. And we think, if I can just talk myself into, this is my problem, I talk myself into things or believing things or rationalizing things. That's not the same thing as hope. I don't know why God did this. Like I said last week, I have no clue what he's going to do. I don't know why. I don't know where he's going with this. And I'm going to stop pretending that I do. Only thing I can have eager expectation about is that he's a good God. He loves me with an unfailing love. And he will take care of me, either in this body or with him. I have every reason to have hope. And hope causes endurance. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Faith without works is dead. But here again we have faith, love, and hope. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope, our eager expectation, is what gets us from moment to moment. It gives us endurance. You cannot endure without hope, and you cannot hope without faith. And you cannot have faith if you don't know whom you have believed. Now this scripture may seem strange, but I think of this in my lowest moments. And I will say this to people who have lost hope. Ecclesiastes 9:4. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. As long as there is life in my body, I have reason to believe there is hope. My struggle is separating my hope and eager expectation in God from my eager expectation that things will go the way I want them to. Right? Claire Booth Luce said, "There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them." Let's say that again. There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Now, I read this, and I thought this was a great story to end with. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect hope has on those undergoing hardship. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set in the water and found that within an hour they had all drowned. That made me very sad that they would do that. The other rats were periodically lifted out of the water and then returned. When that happened, the second set of rats swam for over 24 hours. Not because they were given a rest, but because suddenly they had hope. Those animals somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. If hope holds such power for unthinking rodents, how much greater should its effect be on our lives? So when we are tempted to give up hope, we need to think of the times we have been lifted out of the water, even for a little bit of time. That hand is still there. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He is almighty. He is all loving. We always have a hope as long as we are alive. And if we're not alive, we're with Him. And all of our eager hopes come to fruition. So that's what I wanted to share about hope today. So does anybody have anything they want to share about it? Any thoughts on it? Any experiences with hope? Anything at all? Remember, anything you share is an opportunity to encourage somebody else in our family. You never know what something you're going to say might help someone else. Anybody got anything? Ronnie?
I don't like how she did that. Ask everybody.
Well, I see him going through his Bible.
Well, you know me. I'm just.
Yep.
I get a lot. But, can I share a little bit? I read this the other day because I was asked, and I guess the question, the age old question is about church and how we. You know, do we have to go to church and all those things? And And so anyway, I was reading that, and I read over there, and if you look on Hebrews 10, just one chapter over, Paul's talking about a new and living way. It's basically what he's talking about. And listen to this, it says, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now listen to this. This is what I was getting to. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And with all that, you know, he brings in that word of holding fast that confession of our hope. And, you know, we talk about, well, you don't have to go to church, right? I mean, it's something that won't get you to heaven. Coming here won't get you to heaven, will it? I mean, our confidence should be in Christ. But there is something about what he's talking about here, of coming together and not forsaking that and assembling together, because quite honestly, there's times that we can't get ourselves to that place. And there has to be hope and assurance. And that word in this Bible here, the New American Standard, the scripture that Penny read, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen." So there's times, guys, when we can't get to that place by ourselves. You know, we
That's
talk
right.
about it all the time in
Very
CR
good.
Of how, and Penny mentioned this morning about openly confessing our sins. And we had that last week. It was awesome. With some stuff here and some freedom and some stuff happened with people openly confessing their sins, their faults to one another, and praying for each other, and there was healing took place. And so all that said is, how many feel sometimes it's just hopeless? And you know, I've done this, I've been there, I've been to church, all that stuff. But there's something about moving into that place of faith and just trust in the Lord with other believers that Paul's talking about here, that it's an unwavering and believing that, you know what, I don't feel like going. It ain't feelings, emotions. But, you know, usually Chad's going to lift me up.
Mm-hmm.
He might speak into my life and tell me something I really don't want to hear. But the truth is, I need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it earlier, pain is essential in our life, whether we like it or not. You can't understand not to stick your hand to, or a kid can't understand not to stick his hand to an eye without feeling the pain, can he? And in our lives, we're always hoping. We need to be hoping always and having that assurance that, you know, despite my feelings or what I see, my faith is in him. And I have that hope. I think that's what Paul's talking about there, and he brings that into the point right before this, all the whole faith, you know, in chapter 11 there, of all the men of faith, and how that we should trust in the Lord and have that hope, because without it, we're just going to be, you know, lost, and our lives are going to be just in turmoil half the time. In my BC days, as I call it, my hope was all in myself. You know, I didn't trust anybody. I didn't trust, I probably trust my dad and mom. It's probably the only one, my sister, the only people I said. And when you was talking earlier about that, the daddy thing, I was thinking about how when we pray and it says, Abba, Father, who knows what that means?
Daddy.
Daddy. When we get to that place of understanding who God really is in our life, Daddy God, there's something different. I get goosebumps. There's something different about that. When you're praying to that, you're Daddy God, when you're talking to Daddy, you know Daddy's listening. He's got your full attention. And I don't know that we have that a lot in our lives. Even our prayers, I'm guilty as anybody. It's almost like going through the routines. We're expecting Him, but yet that, like it says, the veil, that the torn, the trusting and knowing Jesus to that point, that Daddy God is something special. That's what I'm hoping for in my relationship with Him, to get to that again in my life, to where it's so special, I'm crying out for Daddy God.
Hmm.
That's
very my good. Hope. So. Very good. Anybody else?
Yeah. One of the things I like, and this goes right along with both what you two are saying, God won't leave me alone with it. A lot of times where we miss it, what God is showing me is we look at how we are and how we act and how we do, such as our love and what we think it is, and then we put that emphasis on that, well, that's just must be how God is.
Mm, yes.
You see, so I think a lot of the issue is that misplaced trust. We look at ourselves, and my life verse is, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So, when I think of that and put all of that together, it's, I can't compare me to what God is, and as much as I would wish that to be, that's just not the case, because God is above and beyond each and every one of us. And with that being said, we can't even trust in ourselves.
That's right.
And when I go to other believers, I have been taught by a great friend of mine to allow them to speak into my life or speak into their life. I've had to learn to trust the Holy Spirit, trust the God in them, and pull out the God in them,
mm-hmm.
that is coming out, and then the rest of them, whatever, whether it be their own way of thinking, just throw that to the side, take out the God, do away with the flesh. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we do. We invoke flesh into, and we're meaning good, but a human's meaning is nothing compared to what God is saying.
That's right.
So you have to pull the God out of people. And it comes to that, you've got to place your trust and your hope in Christ, or in Christ, in that person, to speak into your life, So I think it has to do a lot with us looking at ourselves, and mm-hmm. saying, well, God must be this way. He's been speaking to me since you started talking about it. So.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Excellent. Karen, what do you want to share?
I just wanted to kind of share a story from this morning and how I ended up here. It really has a lot to do with both faith and hope. I got up at like 8 o'clock. I went to bed with a massive migraine last night. And just, I've been in pain all weekend, and I got up this morning feeling unfocused and feeling like, gosh, I've just been so down that I haven't had really time to study my lesson, even though it was the lesson I was going to do last week. I hadn't refreshed myself and was kind of I wasn't trying to talk myself out of it. My son came in at about 9 o'clock, and he just happened to time it just right to where I got a sharp pain, and I clutched, and he was like, "Mom, I don't think you need to go to church this morning. You need to lay back down. You need to, I'm not riding with you, because, like, what if you do this while you're driving down the road and you wreck us?" And I'm like, "Son, I'll be fine, you know. I said, if it, you know, God is going to protect me because I'm going to do His service, and, you know, He's going to be faithful to protect me. He's not going to let anything happen to me on the way to church. You know, but if you don't want to ride with me, that's fine." But I had to, you know, really, like, then I had to talk myself into coming, because each minute I started hurting worse and worse. And then I texted Penny and I was like, "Is it too late to call out sick?" You know, so I'm like waiting for her to answer me, yes it is or no it isn't. And I'm like, okay, I never got an answer back, so I gotta go. So I didn't leave the house till like 6 after 10, but I just knew that if I could just get in the car and if I could just make it down here, you know, that surely He would make me better once I got here. And I'm not gonna lie and say I'm not in any pain right now, but I'm definitely better than I was when I walked in. Mm-hmm. I'm not wanting to fall out on the floor and pass out, because, I mean, I was just there. I was really that low when I walked in here this morning. It was just like, wow, what happened to me on the way over here? It felt even worse when I, by the time I made it into the driveway, it was like, whoa, first I was just in pain. Now I'm like, my head is spinning and I just want to lay down or fall down. I hoped in His faithfulness,
mm-hmm.
that, okay, if I'm faithful, You'll be faithful back.
Yes.
You know, I know I'm supposed to be there. And I really intended to force myself through the children's service, but by the time I got here, that was not, that wasn't what He wanted me here for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just excellent.
He needed me. Sure. He wanted me here regardless, no matter what. And so He wouldn't let me talk myself out of it. Instead, the Holy Spirit talked me into it. I'll get you there.
Excellent. Perfect, perfect example. Anybody else want to share something?
I have another thing that I've been thinking about while you were talking. I was raised in a church where every Sunday morning was Good Friday. And every Sunday morning was doom and gloom as an example of where I was coming from, I used to counsel a lot with teenagers, and I would have, for instance, a girl who would come in and she'd say, "Oh, I've got this cyber game tonight, and I'm so excited about it." And I would say, "Oh, God is going to enjoy watching you with that soccer game." And she would say, "That's ridiculous. There's no..." And then I had time after time. He would say, "That's ridiculous. God doesn't care about my soccer game. God doesn't care whether I enjoy it or not." And I said, "Yes, He does. He does care." And my favorite part in the book, Watching God Work, is the section called Abba Father, which we were talking about earlier, Abba Father, where He does little neat things. It's a situation where He does little neat things for you that, and I don't want to negate what you were saying, because that's so important, but sometimes also He acts just like we would act if we were, mm-hmm. Father wanting our children to enjoy something,
sure.
Wanting our children to be happy, wanting our children to have fun. You know, mm-hmm. The church I was raised in, you're not supposed to have fun with God. God is not a fun God. God is,
yeah.
You know, God is God.
Fire, brimstone.
And
you have to bottle that, waiting on you to mess up.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Just waiting for you to mess up, mm-hmm. so He can,
mm-hmm.
zap you. So I think we have to be grounded. We have to be all the way around. Well, everything you have said, Penny, what you said, and of course what you said, and what you said, and said, everything that has been said is so pertinent and so important. I just don't want you to forget that God is Abba Father,
right.
And that He enjoys when you're enjoying your kids, And I remember having four kids, and see, what did I enjoy? when they're all asleep. And you're standing by their bed, oh, they're so adorable.
They're precious.
That God is also standing there saying, yes, they are adorable. Mm-hmm. You know, not just, yes, I love them and they're going to grow up to serve me, yes.
Right.
But that he enjoys when you enjoy. He enjoys when you're happy. So I just don't want you to forget that God likes us to be happy as well as, that doesn't mean we're not going to always be happy. Mm-hmm. Right. But that he does enjoy our being happy.
Right. Oh, that's excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because it's not something that we bring out and that we really stop and think. Especially religion makes things so formal, and we forget, even though we say it, that Christianity is a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's our relationship with Jesus, but it's also God's relationship with us. Sure. It's our daddy's relationship with us. Now, not all of us have had great daddy experiences, you know. No. So, but it's our opportunity to have that great daddy experience is with him. Go ahead.
Because you just reminded me of this. I read it a long time ago, and I don't remember the whole story. But I like she's talking about he's happy when we're happy. He's
yes.
happy in our happiness. I think what a lot of us forget is, in our sorrows, he's sharing those also.
Yes.
When we cry, he cries.
Yes.
And a long time ago, I read a story about this man that he just kept going around the same circle, and he just kept being in the same position that was unhappy for him. And he finally said, Jesus, aren't you tired of this yet? Because I am. You know, we gotta remember, look, I'm in pain, he's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I've caught myself. I've said that to him a few times. We've been like, Lord, aren't you sick of this? Because, you know, come on, let's do something. Because I'm sick of this. And I know you are. If I am, you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we forget. We forget. Not only does he share our joys, he shares in our sorrows and he shares in our pain. And he's walked in a lot more pain than we've walked.
Yes.
You know?
Very good.
So he knows where we're coming from and he understands our,
yes,
our pain because he feels it.
Excellent.
And his spirit feels it. Just
excellent.
Like he feels our joy.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Well, and what you're saying, like, too, it reminded me that in creation we were created to fellowship with God. Like Adam and Eve, that was their main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we're called to serve. But, like, I think we do forget. Like, I get so task-oriented
mm-hmm.
that I'll be like, okay, I've got to serve God. I've got to do this. I've got to learn through my struggles. And forgetting that, you know, he loves us, he wants to just hang out with us.
Mm-hmm.
To walk in the garden with
right.
us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, and this is like, I really don't want to share this, so I'm like, okay, I guess I will. But I had this dream last night, and I kept thinking about it through the whole time. I mean, I was focused on what you were saying, but it still kept entering my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I keep feeling like this is for me. I'll go home later. I'll pray about it. But I guess because it won't leave my mind, I feel like, well, it may be for some other people too, or maybe somebody would have like an interpretation. Do you mind if I share it?
Prophecy.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm not saying it's a prophet. I mean, I think a lot of it's about my healing process and stuff.
Go ahead and share.
Maybe it'll help. Well, I had, and this may go back because I called Penny Friday with some issues, and
mm-hmm.
it's just then I talked to somebody else who was like, you know, because I've had a lot of healing in a lot of areas in my life, but I put some of it on hold because, you know, my kids are still at home and I'm just maintaining my sanity,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I've even had hospitalizations where God brought me deeper into things. And somebody was like, well, basically you're just stifling, still shoving it down, still stifling it. And, you know, so I kind of was praying about that kind of thing. Well, I had this dream last night that there was some big, I don't know if it was a conference or a church meeting. There were a whole bunch of people inside, like at tables eating. And then it was raining outside, and I went inside for a minute. I was like, do I want to, like, eat and kind of fellowship? And then I saw there were these people, like, dancing in the rain. And I was like, oh, I think, like, that looks more fun. I'm just going to go, like, dance, be with God, dance with these people, and just, like, have fun outside in the rain. So I started doing that, and I can't remember if I noticed my leg before that or after that, but at some point I noticed that I had, like, a wound, like a cut on my leg. And I realized, I guess it had been closed up somehow. And so I kind of pulled on it, and it came open. And you know, if you have a cut and it comes open, you may just see a little bit of blood. That's all you're going to really see. It came open and it was this huge gaping hole. I mean, it went so deep, it was almost like a huge compartment. Like, I was like, oh my God, am I going to see through the other side of my leg? Yeah. And it went so deep, it was almost like a room or something. And then I realized that it had packing in it, like they'll put in people, like when they've had surgeries or problems. Mm-hmm. But then I started like looking around the packing and it kind of came out somehow. And I saw all these white, like, things all around it. And I realized it was like pus and infection. And so then I was just like, do I need to go to the emergency room? I'm here with God. What do I need to do? Do I need to get it taken care of right away? And so then I was like, well, no. I mean, I'm realizing that the packing thing is like a good thing. Kind of like God knew. I mean, the way I was interpreting it this morning, it's like God has known that even though I've been feeling bad, like I'm putting all this on hold, that He's packed it. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, oh, I don't want it to get infected more and get dirt in it. So I need to like get it closed up. And so I saw this friend, this my best friend's mom was there. And I was like, do you have like Band-Aids or first aid kit or gauze? And she's like, yeah. And she was going to bandage it for me. And I was like, oh no, I can do this myself. So then I like got it, but it wasn't great. So then throughout the day it kept coming open again. And I knew, I was like, okay, I'm just going to like keep this closed for now, but it's good. And then I'm going to go to the hospital and see a doctor and like get it taken care of later. But although it's like personal, I just kept feeling like I needed to share it, and I don't know why.
That's good. Thank you for sharing that. Does anybody have anything?
Or that God shows them an interpretation, or speaks to anyone else, or...
I agree with you in the fact that, especially with what you've been going through, and we have been talking personally about having to reopen wounds and deal with issues. And right. Sometimes we have to push it down to deal with one thing at a time.
Right.
Because some of us do have really huge gaping wounds. Me, one of them. You know, the more I learn, the more I realize I'm damaged goods, really, from the very, very, very beginning. Very damaged goods. So I agree, although I find it interesting that you wanted to fix it yourself.
I got the same feeling when you said that. You know,
I'll fix it.
No,
myself.
You had somebody that offered. You had somebody that offered to help.
Bandage, and I'm like,
and you said I can do it myself.
No, I knew what that was.
Yeah.
I think to me that yeah.
I think that's God saying no. I don't want you to do it yourself.
Yeah. But thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Good. Very good. Does anybody have anything else they want to share before we close up? All right, I have one question to ask you. Do you believe that what you've learned here can help you focus your hope not on the results that you expect from God, but simply on the faithfulness and goodness of God? Trusting that no matter what happens with the body or outside of the body, that He is good. Mm-hmm. And that it is going to be good. It will be well with my soul. Yes. All right, great. Ronnie, will you close us in prayer, please?
Yeah.